We yesterday launched it back up again. Democrat of the day, Ken Martin, was our first Democrat of the day. We had him on yesterday. You can podcast that interview on SoundCloud and pretty much anywhere that you get your podcasts at. Today's Democrat of the day, we head on down to District 56B. Representative Kayla Berg is kind enough to join us to talk about actually her first year in the Minnesota House, looking at her second year coming up and her campaign to go back into St. Paul coming up here this November. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. I said this when I interviewed you before. I'm just tickled pink that you're in there. I think you're an absolutely outstanding representative. I'm jealous of the fine folks. 56B is basically, it's eastern and southern Burnsville and northern and western Lakeville, right?
Yep, just about three precincts in Lakeville.
Yeah. And it's a district that basically has been growing. It is a district that has been moving more to the Democratic side. And you've gone in there now. You have been there. Let's talk about your first year. Of course, you were in the majority in the House, which is a benefit. But, of course, you still had to deal with the Senate. How did you feel 2021 went for you?
Well, it was very interesting. You know, legislating remotely was quite the experience. It didn't necessarily feel real until we went into special session in June. And that's when we really, the first time that we were all together on the floor, you know, in the chamber. Prior to that, it just didn't seem real in a lot of ways. It was like campaigning in the pandemic was strange. There was no door knocking and that really exciting opportunity to connect with the community. So overall, it's been quite the experience.
How do you feel? Do you feel as if, you know, and I know that your perception is, you know, this is your first year there. Do you feel as if you were able to get the same amount of work done in a normal year by doing it remotely?
Well, I don't have a whole lot to compare it to, but I know that we worked really hard. You know, it's great to be in the majority. It's great to be in the House. It's sort of where big ideas are born and we're able to go after the values that are really important to us in a strategic way. And then it gets sent over to the Senate and it's disappointing. I was on the conference committee for the jobs and labor bill. And the Senate chair wouldn't even allow anybody but the chair and the agency in the room. So Representative Liz Olson and I really didn't have a lot of opportunity to participate. So I think something like that is really frustrating, whether it's in person or not.
Yeah, you're dealing with the Senate where the Republicans up there have got their agenda. They don't want to, you know, change it at all. Although you did, I mean, you talk about Liz Olson, you did get to work with a lot of great House reps there that, you know, there are a lot of people in the Minnesota House right now. They're just absolutely outstanding politicians, caring about their constituents, caring about their districts. That had to be fun to be working with some of those people.
Oh my gosh, you are so not wrong. These are people that I've known sort of peripherally for a number of years and always admired. So the opportunity to sit next to them and work with them is a bit of a trip.
We're looking at 2022 here. Is there anything right now that's on your agenda that you're looking at, you know, whether that is something very specific for your district or something larger as far as a statewide bill?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're going to come out strong with jobs, of course, economic recovery from the pandemic. Something that's going to be also important this year is healthcare again, making sure that we come up with a reasonable way to get as many Minnesotans covered with healthcare as possible. For me, that would be 100% of Minnesotans, but we'll see how that goes. I have a couple of really important bills around education. Of course, one I introduced last year, which was the ratio of students to school counselors, making sure that they're the right ratio so that counselors can really help their students. I think mental health is more important now with our students after the isolation of distance learning. It's more important than ever. Also, a bill that allows students in the alternative high schools to reach age 21 before they age out, including the 21-22 school year, because it's been a huge struggle. We've got my carbon monoxide bill, which is making sure that every hotel room in the state of Minnesota has a carbon monoxide detector in it to save lives. And then I've got a really interesting idea around veterans housing that I'm going to introduce in our veterans committee that I sit on.
Well, okay, I'm a veteran. I would love to hear about this.
Well, it's a really interesting concept. What it is building sort of these duplexes, like four-unit structures with a community room to bring veterans that don't have housing in with other veterans so that they maintain that sort of camaraderie that they have often on the streets. I had a couple of vets tell me that, you know, we think we're doing something really great when we provide vets homes, but what we do is isolate them from their community that they had on the streets. And so this would be some units that veterans could move into. And the idea behind it is to eventually have it be veteran-owned to give those folks opportunities to build wealth. And so there's four counties in Minnesota that don't have veterans housing at all. And so the bill's author and I are sort of seeing what we can do to make sure we're taking care of our vets.
The carbon monoxide detectors in the hotel rooms as well. I want to ask, I mean, are there really Republicans against this? This is a good idea. I can't believe you're running into too much, resistance from anyone on that one.
Yep. Actually, we got it in the omnibus bill in the House, passed through Labor and Public Safety. There was some pushback from the hospitality industry saying that now was not the time. It cost too much money. And we were sort of shocked because how do you put a price on a human life? But okay. So we did get it in the omnibus bill. That was great. And then the Senate chair of the conference committee wouldn't even consider having it in the final version of the bill.
Ah, I see. Someone's leash was pulled. All right. So that's me saying it, not you, Representative. That's me saying it. But okay.
Yeah, let's get that on the record.
If you don't mind me asking, of course, once again, Representative Kayla Berg joining us, Democrat of the Day, House seat 56B. I want to ask you something direct for your district. I believe Burnsville Center is in your district, correct?
Yes.
All right. This is obviously, this is a complicated issue. It's no one's fault. I mean, obviously, online sales have already been chipping away at brick and mortar stores and malls and shopping centers before the pandemic. And now, obviously, with the pandemic, we've had some other issues with that as well. I imagine this is, once again, this is an issue for your district. Do you have any, are there any plans that you're working on right now? Any ideas that you have that, can help and stimulate and make sure that growth down there? Because once again, Burnsville Center is always one of the main malls, main shopping districts in the cities. And we want to make sure that obviously all these districts, they stay there because hopefully when the pandemic's over, people are willing to go out and shop again.
Well, interesting that you should ask. I authored the bill in the House, and Senator Lindsey Ford authored it in the Senate. It was a basic TIF bill to get funding for the redevelopment of the Burnsville Center. And so I think that's really exciting because any of us that grew up in, for example, Northfield, where I grew up, or Prior Lake or Bloomington, or, anything before the Mall of America, the Burnsville Mall was where we went. And so the hope is that we're going to redevelop it with some green space and some dining options and make it really a community-centered place to go and make it a regional destination. So we were able to secure the TIF funding, and so that's pretty exciting for our community.
Well, and you, one of the things I lived in Ames, Iowa. I can't tell you how many people I knew that would go up and they say, I went to the cities. I said, where did you go? Well, I went to Burnsville Center. And they would go there. That was the destination. And I would make the comment, well, you didn't really go to the Twin Cities. You went to Burnsville. But still, I mean, that shopping was such a draw, especially you're bringing in people from South Dakota. You're bringing in people from Iowa. You're bringing in pretty much everyone from the southern part of the state. It's the first major shopping center people can come to. It really is. That's kind of the economic growth that your district needs. And I can commend you and the Senator Port there on having that there and making that a priority.
Yeah, we're pretty excited, but also you were talking to people from Iowa, so of course Burnsville seems like the place to go. But we are really looking forward to what this means for our community. The part of the conversation that I've tried to center around the plans for this is making sure that this is culturally sensitive, because we have such a vibrant immigrant community here, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that every member of our district and the surrounding communities feels like this is a place where they want to bring their family.
Well, and you bring that point up too. I mean, the dynamics of your district have changed dramatically. I mean, I was a kid. I remember going down to Burnsville Center. I saw the suburbs. The first time I ever saw the suburbs play was down. There used to be a place down there that they played down there. It was the first place I ever saw it. And there was a draw down there. So it's not just Iowa. They brought us out of Edina too. But we were down there. But the district has changed. I mean, at that point, it was fairly small amount of minority population. Today, that has grown. And with that, obviously, and especially as well with the kind of jobs and the kind of housing that's needed, this is a multi-layered, you know, I don't want to say problem, but, you know, an issue that needs to continually be addressed as the district changes.
Right. I mean, we are extremely lucky to have the kind of community members that we do. They're engaged, they're open-hearted and welcoming, and we want to make sure that we're returning that. I know what you're saying about the demographic that Burnsville used to be, but it is super exciting to see the way that it is evolving.
Indeed.
And it is such an honor to represent this community.
I you know, like, I'm the kind of person, I like diversity. I lived in Iowa, as I mentioned earlier. I lived in Iowa for a while. I like to have diversity. I like multiculturalism. I like the fact that it doesn't feel like I'm someplace where there isn't much of a variance there. And I think Burnsville is a real gem. I mean, there's a lot of great businesses, restaurants, a lot of great neighborhoods down there. I've talked about, you know, I've done all these hikes. I can't tell you how many great parks I've gone to in Burnsville. Fantastic. A little bit of a hill there, but still, a little bit of one. But it is a magnificent community, and it really has come into its own.
I mean, it is so great here, but let's also talk about one of the very best things about it is these three powerful women that represent
Absolutely.
This community. And the three of us are committed to making sure that we center the community voices. All three of us are organizers, and it's the stories and the community voices that we know affect real policy change and that we should be centering when we are making the decisions we're making. So I think everything about this particular time in Burnsville and those little precincts in Lakeville, and then, of course, Savage that Jess Hansen has. It's a really special time right now.
I know you've got the 2022 cycle. That's what you're looking at right now. That's coming up ahead. You obviously have got a re-election campaign coming up here in November. Not necessarily the priority, although I imagine if we send people to your website, they can, A, make a donation, at least get signed up on a list to where if they want to come on down and help you in your district, help you get reelected down there in 56B, that's something that they can get more information on, correct?
Yep, that's right. And they can also go to our Facebook page, and that might be even a little bit easier. But either way, they can find out what we're all about. You know, we have got some major issues, both federally and here in Minnesota, that we're going to talk a lot about. We're going to talk about reproductive freedom and the Texas-style abortion laws, especially since the decision Roe v. Wade out of the Supreme Court will come out close to June. This is a conversation that we're not going to shy away from. We've got to talk about immediate decisions about how to impact climate change and reverse the course that we're on. That has to be a major priority. We have to talk about economic growth and jobs. As I mentioned before, we have to talk about healthcare, and we have to talk about how critical it is. It has always been, but proves to be more and more each passing year, to fund public education, to embrace the ideas of community schools and wraparound services in those schools. So we're going to have a lot of hard conversations this coming election cycle, but it's well past time.
I'm going to take a quick second here. I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 years I've read about a Republican. They won't come on my show, the Republicans, that I've read about a Republican, and they spend an entire year hammering on one issue. They don't there. You just heard Kayla Berg, okay? Once again, an outstanding representative. That is a huge plate of things that she's trying to accomplish, but she has her eyes on the whole prize. It's not just one issue. It's understanding her district. It's understanding the state. It's understanding what the community needs. And it's not just one issue, which generally is what Republicans are. They're a one issue group. You are looking at everything. It's just, this is why I'm lucky to know you. I'm lucky to be able to chat with you. You're absolutely a fantastic representative. And I mean, I think we definitely need to see you in St. Paul for many, many years to come.
Well, thank you. I'm just going to go ahead and agree with you on all that.
I would be surprised. I would be surprised if you didn't. All right. So here's what I want people to do here. The Facebook page is Kayla Berg, K-A-E-L-A, Berg, B-E-R-G, for Minnesota State Representative. That's on Facebook. You can also head to our webpage as well. That is it Berg for Minnesota? And Minnesota's all spelled out?
That's right.
Yep. Berg, BERGFORMINNESOTA.com. I will link to both of those a little bit later on if you can. But the whole goal of Democrat of the Day is there's a lot of safe Democratic seats, and that's great. And I'm not saying you shouldn't help them. By all means, make a donation, door knock, help them out. But if we can get a few volunteers into some of these districts, which are not as easy slam dunks, get a few dollars into those districts, that is how we are going to maintain the Minnesota House. And heck, that's how we're going to pick up the Minnesota Senate, too. So we need to, this is what the point of Democrat of the Day, we need to help these Democrats. And please, if you can, Kayla Berg is absolutely outstanding. 56B. It's bergforminnesota.com. And once again, on the Facebook page, it is Kayla Berg from MN State Representative. You can find her there and sign up, volunteer, make a donation if you can. Representative, an absolute treat. I always enjoy chatting with you. All my best. I hope a lot more things get done this year for you. And I look forward to hopefully winning once again here, coming up here in November. I think things are looking pretty good for 56B.
Thank you, Matt. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.